The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. The spotlight is on the Friendly City on this week's episode. We are getting some insights from the CEO of the Nelson Mandela Business Chamber, Denise van Hestien. Nelson Mandela Bay is a key metro in SA and is the biggest metro city in the Eastern Cape, a beautiful and friendly part of the world. We're back with our Sell Your City feature. Welcome to the Property Pod, Denise.
Good morning and thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so sell your city in a few minutes. Why invest in Nelson Mandela Bay? Naturally, we're talking property-wise, yeah?
Okay, so as a business community, we believe in Nelson Mandela Bay as having untapped potential, and we're calling it the Bay of Opportunity. We've actually initiated measures to proactively market our city, and we launched a trade and investment desk in June of this year, and we so far are tracking 13 investment opportunities. And maybe also to mention that we've got Stellantis that's busy establishing a 3 billion Rand like commercial vehicle plant at our Kuka IDZ. And then we also have various other investments under consideration, including a 109 billion Rand green ammonia production plant that Hive Hydrogen is aiming to set up here. And also when you look at existing investors, so we're very much a city that's anchored by manufacturing. The automotive portion is huge. Almost half of the country's automotive component manufacturers, for example, are located here, as well as major OEMs like Volkswagen and Isuzu Motors. Volkswagen has invested announced that they're investing 4 billion Rand in upgrading their next generation compact SUV, which they'll be launching at their facility. And then when you look at the component sector, there's also been various upgrades and so on. And automotive is not our only strength. We also have a strong pharmaceuticals and beverages sector. So when you look at pharmaceuticals, Aspen Pharmacare, for example, has invested over 6 billion Rand over the last few years in upgrading its facilities. In fact, the area where Aspen is located, they've actually expanded their operations, taking over other empty buildings, which is fantastic. So what we're doing as a business community is we're rallying behind the Bay as the most diverse manufacturing base on the African continent. We also have a local economy reinvention think tank that we've established, where we've pulled together engineers and out-of-the-box thinkers from across industry and business, and they're all working in various work streams to identify proactively investment opportunities that we can lure to the city. And we recently had motorcycle manufacturers from India visiting us, and they're interested in potentially manufacturing a plant here. And there's 13 other different opportunities, as I indicated, that we're also tracking. Is that enough?
Yes. Thank you, Denise. Moving on to the property side of things, you mentioned major investments that's largely linked to manufacturing. But how is the property side of Nelson Mandela Bay going, especially from a commercial property side? Obviously, the manufacturing businesses are on properties. Perhaps you want to highlight some of the major developments under the go being led by the private sector in the metro.
Yeah, so commercial and industrial property is reasonably priced in the metro. And in fact, we also believe that when some of these investments that I spoke of, when they take off, if you take the green ammonia production plant as an example, that would create thousands of downstream work opportunities. And it would be the biggest inward investment ever into South Africa. So we see the hydrogen economy as being a major part of our future economy. And in fact, in our think tank, we're busy unpacking those opportunities and looking at wind turbine manufacturing, electrolyzer manufacturing, and so on. So that all has positive spin-offs in terms of property. And if you look at the Western Cape that is next door to us, you know, that you've been aware of all the property prices that are humming there with a lot of relocation and investment happening there. And we think that that's going to get oversaturated. And then Nelson Mandela Bay will become a natural place for people to come to. So if investors get in now, I think they could end up making a good buy. And yes, the city has challenges. You know, we've had unstable politics in place since 2016, which cities like Johannesburg is experiencing. But as a business community, we've done a lot in terms of stabilizing the environment and collaborating with the stakeholders in an apolitical manner to get an enabling environment in place. So one of the initiatives we've done is we've organized the city into 11 geographic clusters. And that's where businesses that operate in particular industrial or commercial areas work together. And we find ways of addressing challenges such as power outages, water issues, cleanliness, and so on. And it's actually been quite remarkable what the business community has been doing and the way we've been able to mobilize everybody to work together for a common purpose. And I'll use one example. We've got the Perseverance Industrial Area. And they're home to major manufacturers like SA Breweries and Spa and Borbit and so on, Coca-Cola. And they employ collectively over 10,000 people. And in that area, they, with the Perseverance Cluster, they're busy engaging with Treasury around establishing an eco-industrial park. So that will, and part of that would include a solar park that they'd like to develop, which is worker-owned. And then they're also looking at a water security solution. So what is exciting is that the business community here is looking towards the future. It's not just focused on today. And we've actually just launched a publication, which I'll share with you after this podcast, which talks to our Bay of Opportunity and the 11 different clusters and what investors can expect in each one of those clusters. And I think there's very few places in the world where you'll have businesses working together in the way that we are all working together for the greater good of our local economy. So we see the potential here. We're not naive. We recognize the challenges. And, you know, if you look at the fact that we are a two-port city, that should be a massive advantage because one of the ports is an industrial deep water port. But we all know the challenges around Transnet, but we engage closely with them. And we also want the north to south rail corridor to become fully functional again, because that will also be good for automotive trade. You know, so those are all longer term issues that still need to be addressed, but we believe they can be addressed as the country turns around. I think GNU has brought some positivity into play. And this business community here in Nelson Mandela Bay, I think we've been working in that spirit for over 3 years now. So I think we're also ahead of the curve, where in other parts of the country, people are grappling with how to deal with dysfunctional municipalities, where we've been doing it for some time, where we, for example, we set up technical task teams where we work with the city to address the sanitation system, electricity, unplanned power outages, et cetera. We've even, as a business community, when we had a water crisis, we initiated something called a Dr. Leak, where we went out and we repaired leaks in areas where the highest concentration of leaks were. And that actually saved the city over 1.7 million liters of water a day. So for me, the biggest selling point is our and the way we work together as a business community. And then when you look at work-life balance, and we've got 300 days of sunshine here, and it's a nice outdoor city for families, good schools, and so on. So, you know, so we still believe this is a great place for people to work and live.
So you highlighted a lot of the industrial investments, and obviously that has benefits for the property sector. But is the city investment friendly from a property side in terms of attracting real estate investment into the city? A few years ago, there was a major investment into Sun International's casino on the beachfront, for example. But going into the festive season, that's a prime beachfront in South Africa. Do you want to highlight some of those property aspects?
Okay, so I think like many other metros around the country, our main CBD area is in a state of decay. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done to revitalize it. And when you look at the historical heritage there, and you go into like the main city library, it's still quite phenomenal when you look inside the building and what is possible. So what we've been trying to do is to get people to unlock the possibilities and to basically reclaim back the city. So if you take the beachfront as an area, we've got a cluster there as well. So they're also one of our 11 geographic clusters. And the beachfront, I know there was an article in today's newspaper around the red flags raised at blue flag beaches. But we're actually quite confident that we won't lose our status there. One, because of our sanitation technical task team, where we've been working with the city. And we've actually together, and it's businesses providing technical input. It's not any kind of handouts. And we've helped them to improve the efficiency rate of the system from 15% to over 80%. So that's the one positive. And then our beachfront cluster, which is led by the hotels and all the different businesses like Investec and that are based on the beachfront. They've been mobilizing together. They've pooled funds and they've also deployed additional security on the beachfront. They're also in the process of putting lighting up in key areas. And there's a whole bunch of other things they're doing around bins and litter and so on. We've also been engaging with the municipality and with SAPS, and they've got additional security that they've deployed at the beachfront from this weekend, in fact. And they're also enforcing regulations. And apparently there were quite a lot of fines that were issued over the weekend, which we're very pleased about because we believe that it's necessary for strong enforcement of regulations for the environment to be stable. So our beach is actually quite a nice, unspoiled beach, golden beaches. And I think the years of neglect, especially during the COVID period in terms of infrastructure, has affected that area like it has everywhere else around the country. But I think we're in the process of reclaiming that back, and we're working together with the stakeholders to make that happen.
Thank you for that, Denise. The cities bear the brunt of service delivery protests across the country because they are closer to the national government, as it were, to ordinary citizens. How important is that urban renewal and service delivery side?
Look, I think that is fundamentally important. If we want to get South Africa working again, we need municipalities to succeed. We need them to be effective because ultimately if services aren't delivered, then the poorest of the poor suffer, and so do businesses, consumers and everybody else. So from our aspect, we actually want to help the municipality to succeed. I know sometimes they think we want to take over their jobs. That's not the job of business. We actually want to be able to impart expertise so that they become fully functional again, and we can get on with the job of creating employment and doing what business is supposed to be doing. And I think that the time for politicians to have their own personal agendas up front needs to go away. We need to all do what's in the best interest of the people, because it's unsustainable when you look at the higher poverty levels across the country and the conditions in which many people live. And even when you look at something like electricity, where everybody should have the right to basic services. But then you look at the extent of illegal theft and also municipalities that aren't able to pay Eskom back. There's a big sustainability issue. So it's very important that all the stakeholders are working together. And their procurement chains need to be sorted out, because that's often the roadblock in terms of effecting service delivery, because often contracts get held up there and so on. So there needs to be a different approach. Personally, I'm of the view that there's a new business model required for municipalities in order to ensure that basic services like electricity, water and sanitation are delivered to the people, and roads is the other one. I think there's still a lot to do. But I think when you look at our Nelson Mandela Bay, it's wide urban sprawl, but it's still manageable, and it's not too late to rein it in. You know, so I think when you look at us as a business community, I mean, we've got over 700 businesses that belong to our chamber, and they're from your biggest companies like Volkswagen, Aspen, and so on, right down to small businesses. And everybody is united around their belief in the opportunity, and they're willing to roll up their sleeves to make a difference. So we've got a good relationship with many of these stakeholders. So if you take Eskom, for example, we work very closely with them when it comes to electricity resolution. We also have a good relationship with the city manager and others as well. So those are, because at the end of the day, it's all down to people. And it's about people aligning around a common vision. And I think we've been able to do that. And that is why, I believe in the potential of the city. And when you started the discussion, you spoke about the friendly city. And, I think we do live up to that when you look at how we've been collaborating as a business community and with other stakeholders.
Denise, spiraling rates and taxes are often highlighted by the commercial property sector and ordinary residents as an issue nationally. From your side, any comments from the Nelson Mandela Chamber of Business?
Yeah, so I think that is a big issue of contention for businesses, for communities. And when you look at, you're talking rates and taxes, but maybe just to start with electricity, where you've got increases that are being proposed of 44.3% for next year. That is simply not sustainable in terms of what people can afford to pay for electricity. And when you couple that with rates and taxes and everything else that you still need to pay, it becomes very difficult to have a business case for investment, especially when you, like us, where a lot of our business here is exports orientated, and you need to compete with other emerging markets around the world. So we are protesting against, and we participated in the NERSA briefing last week around the electricity tariffs, which we believe need to, obviously, it's not sustainable to run it at that level. And Eskom still has a lot of work to do in terms of addressing other areas where they can reduce costs. And the same with municipalities in terms of ring fencing electricity. And we also want Eskom and the municipality to work together so that there's something called active parking that we believe will also help that situation. And then when it comes to rates and taxes, we do get some pushback from businesses as well. So when, for example, we start geographic clusters and we ask businesses to participate in that, we're asking them to commit time and to pool their money together, because there's certain things like in Perseverance, one of the things we did is we had traffic lights that were not working for some time. And it was a big frustration for even people traveling past Perseverance on the way to work at VW in Corifa, where the traffic lights were not working. So we reached an agreement with the municipality where we put safety and security cameras up in the area, and we had our own dedicated patrol, because we also adopt substations as a business community. And then the municipality agreed to reinstate the traffic lights once the security was in place so they wouldn't be vandalized. So those are the kind of partnerships we've been doing. But you can imagine businesses, when you start these clusters and you tell them these are the kind of things you expect them to do, where they say, well, why should we pay rates and taxes if you are paying for your own services, delivery of the services to yourselves? But for us, it's also a moral issue. And, when you look at where our country is and the high unemployment rate and the high poverty levels, it's important that we take a balanced view. And it starts with holding the line and making sure that we get the basics working. And to do that, we all have to work together to make that happen. So it's not about personal agendas. We don't care what political parties are running the city or about any of those dynamics. It's about putting the best interests of the people and of business first, because once businesses are thriving, then you get employment, and then things are obviously better for communities as well.
On that rates and taxes side, though, is the city quite competitive, or do you push the city back and say that we want more competitive rates? Because that property sector seems to be the cash cow in many cities across the country in terms of rates and taxes.
Yeah, I think we would like rates to be fair, in terms of and reasonable. So you also don't want land to be overinflated versus what you're paying. And I know there is some pushback, for example, and maybe I'm changing topics slightly, where on water tariffs, for example, we've been paying a very high water tariffs in the city since the so-called drought or the water management crisis that we had, because we were losing 48% of our water was unaccounted. And, you know, and we're still being penalized with that tariff that was put in place there for a drought type situation. So there's been a lot of pressure on the municipality to bring it back down to the correct levels. And I think the thing is, if that balance is not there, you're going to have more and more businesses and private individuals and going off the grid, you know, in terms of their own water solutions, their own electricity solutions. But that's also not a good thing, because you need the municipality to earn revenue so that it can invest in its infrastructure and upgrade and maintain it. And I think that's why we've chosen the path of working with them, getting these technical teams in place. And I mean, it's amazing when you talk to engineers and people from companies, and they're in very, very busy jobs, but they're willing to sit with the municipality and help them to get the right plans in place and to almost hold their hands in addressing a lot of the issues. And I think that's what we need to do, because, you know, if you're going to just hone in and focus on the rates and the value you're getting versus the rates you're paying, then it doesn't make sense to be here. You know, but what we're doing is we're looking at the longer term potential. And when you look at where things are going geopolitically around the world, and you look at the natural assets we have as a country, you look at our minerals, and you look at our site here in Nelson Mandela Bay. Do you know that Hive Hydrogen chose this location because they deemed that this was the best site in the world for them to have their green ammonia plant, because we've got 300 days of sunshine, we've got wind power, you know, we've got skilled workforce. Because we anchored by a manufacturing sector, there's a lot of people that are highly skilled that work in the city. You know, so we had everything going for ourselves. And if you look at the future of hydrogen, that's going to be playing a huge role around the world. I mean, they already have off-takers for their hydrogen, mostly from Japan and the Far East. But I think once that gets going, I think South Africa could really play a massive role in the hydrogen economy. We're also looking at things like automotive, where it's not just about four-wheel vehicles, also two-wheelers, three-wheelers, and different types of power to drive these vehicles. So it's not just EV. We need to look beyond that. We're also looking at global gaps. What is there a shortage of that we could manufacture here? So we think very strongly this is a manufacturing city. And when you look at the way businesses are actively, I mean, we're actually promoting the city as the Bay of Opportunity, as a business community. And, you know, and I think that's unusual as well, but it's also business to business kind of where we're building confidence. And I think that says a lot, because when you look at sentiment, a lot of it is around confidence. And when you look at the impact it has on investors and where things go. So I think the big positive for me is that the business community believes in the future, and it's taking active steps for the short term, but also for the long term.
Denise, just thought about this. We talked about urban renewal, but is city improvement districts quite a big thing in Nelson Mandela Bay? The last time I was down there was pre-COVID. The beachfront in particular is quite a popular destination. So one would think the chamber plays a part in that area as well.
Yeah, so I think our geographic clusters are like a different version of those city improvement districts, you know, where the stakeholders are working together for that particular area. And there are some SRAs in the city where the municipality and the communities partner together, and especially in areas like Central, Richmond Hill, those areas is where your historical buildings are. And that's where there's a lot of partnering going on. And I think the other challenge, and it's probably also a challenge in other metros where Transnet has a lot of buildings around the city, they've been left in a state of disrepair. So that's something that also needs to be urgently addressed by the government. And in fact, on our beachfront, you have quite a few abandoned Transnet buildings that are on prime real estate. And that could be a huge opportunity if that could be sold off for private developers. And, you know, I mean, they've been talking for years about setting up a waterfront on our beachfront. And I think when you look at the natural area that we have in front there and the way the two ports are going to work in the future, that is something that could definitely happen. We get a lot of cruise ships that come in here. In fact, we had a massive one over the weekend. And I think we want to work more with Cape Town as well. So when the cruise ships go to Cape Town, they also come here because we're also the gateway to the Eastern Cape and to the Western Cape. You know, and there's a lot of business that comes with those ships when tourists disembark here. We have a Barkens Valley that's an unspoiled area that there's a lot of adventure sport that takes place there. And then we also had a lot of game reserves that are like half an hour, 45 minutes outside the city where tourists can go to five-star game reserves. I don't know if you've heard of Shamwari and ones like that, but they're malaria-free. People like John Travolta have come out here over the years, Tiger Woods and so on. So there's so much that we can unlock from a tourism perspective, but we need to get our act together as a city, and you need the various stakeholders. If they just play their role in the correct way, the potential is there, and this can truly become a bay of opportunity.
Denise, thank you so much for your time. That was Denise van Histien, CEO of the Nelson Mandela Business Chamber.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.